Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Well, unless you've been totally unplugged lately, you've probably seen the news that rap and hip-hop artist Kanye West has become a Christian. Now, recently, he's even released a new album titled Jesus is King, which many are saying is gospel-centered and doctrinally sound.
That's right, Amy. And of course, we certainly rejoice when anyone gets saved. But because of Kanye's past history of blasphemy, and I think at one point he was even pretending he was a Christian, with that and with the rash of people that we thought were Christians, including several pastors apostatizing over the last few years, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, while rejoicing in Kanye's apparent salvation, are taking a more guarded approach rather than taking his profession of faith at face value and no questions asked.
Yeah, which brings us to the question, how can we tell whether or not someone is really saved? It can be hard to tell with someone we don't know, like a celebrity, but even with people we do know personally, Michelle, like family members, friends, coworkers, is there any really good way to know for sure?
It really can be a dilemma, and we've even had a couple of our listeners ask us to address this topic, wanting to know the answers to questions like, when I'm in an evangelism situation, how can I tell whether the person is a false convert who needs to hear the gospel or a Christian who doesn't? And if my friend follows false teachers or believes unbiblical things but claims to be a Christian, should I regard her as a false convert who needs the gospel or a believer who just needs to be discipled better? So that's the issue we're going to tackle tonight.
Yeah, and it's such an important issue too. I think one of the first things we need to do is explain a couple of terms that we've been using that maybe some of our listeners might not be familiar with. These terms can have really in-depth theological meaning, so we're just going to give some simple definitions for our purposes tonight. And the first one is false convert. Now, this is someone who claims to be a Christian. She acts like a Christian, talks like a Christian, and often thinks she is a Christian, but has never truly repented of her sin and placed her faith in Christ for salvation, which means she's actually lost. Now, sometimes false converts come to recognize that they aren't really saved and then become genuinely born again, which is great. This was the case with our good friend Justin Peters. He had two seminary degrees and had been preaching around the world for several years when he realized he wasn't truly saved. So we're going to put a link to his testimony in the show notes so that you can read it. But the other word we want to talk about is apostasy or apostatize. Now, this is when someone who's given every appearance of being a Christian, sometimes for many years, ends up turning away from the faith or embracing heresy instead of biblical Christianity. Now, we've seen this in recent years with people like Mark Driscoll, Joshua Harris. You may want to listen to our very first episode, Walking Away from Christ, in which we discussed apostasy at greater length.
Yeah, and I think this is the concern that a lot of people have about Kanye and that our listeners have about their friends and their loved ones. How can we tell if they're genuinely born again or if they will turn out to be false converts or apostatize at some point down the road? So let's take a look at what Scripture has to say. And we're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 13. A lot of you will recognize this as the parable of the soils. So we're going to start in Matthew 13 and read verses 3-9 to start off with. And he told them, this is Jesus, he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then later in the chapter, the disciples asked Jesus to explain the parable to them, and he explains it in verses 18-23. So this is Matthew 13, 18-23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So this passage of scripture is really appropriate to what we're talking about tonight. It's a perfect fit. So we want to understand that the seed that fell on the path and the birds ate it, these are people who hear the gospel and reject it. They don't even pretend to be Christians. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Yeah. Then the seed that fell on the rocky ground and the seed that fell among the thorns, these are false converts, like we were talking about before. These are people who maybe they look like Christians for a while, and then they, like the parable says, they get scorched by the sun and die, or they turn away from the faith later. And then finally, the seeds that fell on the good soil produced grain. These are people who are genuinely saved when they hear the gospel. Now, Amy, help me out here. Who's telling this story?
That would be none other than Jesus.
That is absolutely right. And the thing about that Jesus is telling the story, he can see everything about that seed. He can see the soil that it's in, the rain that's falling on it. He sees all the circumstances. He is omniscient. He knows what that quote unquote plant will turn out to be, whether it's a true convert or a false convert. Now, conversely, all we as human beings here on earth can see is we can just see a little green shoot that looks the same in the beginning for false and true converts. They look very much the same. And we don't know if it's going to turn into a healthy plant or if it's going to die. We don't know the outcome, and we don't have to know the outcome because God knows, and yeah. We can trust that He is sovereign over salvation. So the next point we want to bring out is that our job is to scatter seeds and tend plants. God is in control of the growth. Amy, could you read 1 Corinthians 3:5-7 for us?
Sure. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you've believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth.
Right. So do we have to know whether a plant is going to die or grow up and be healthy in order to water and fertilize it and disciple it? No. The watering we do, the fertilizing we do, that's all what we would call discipleship. So if you claim to be a Christian, whether or not we think you definitely are or not, we're going to disciple you. We're going to do that watering and that fertilizing. And that brings us to the next point. The seed that was cast on the good soil grew up, and verse 8 says it produced grain. Okay, and Jesus was very specific about this word that he chose there. It produced grain. So that tells us that these are grain seeds, whether the grain was corn or wheat or barley, whatever kind of grain they were growing over there. These are grain seeds that are being scattered. So if they're growing properly, they produce grain. They don't produce poison berries. They don't produce thistles. They produce grain. If this is a Christian growing in Christ, he produces or she produces the fruit of that gospel seed that was planted. Amy, could you read Matthew 7:16-18?
Yeah. It says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit.
Right. So some plants, some of them will be scorched and die or choked by thorns before producing fruit. But if they hang in there long enough, as the plant or this apparent new Christian grows, it will produce fruit as we're watering and fertilizing and discipling it. And if the person is a true convert, someone who has truly been born again, they will produce grain, like the parable says. The fruit that they will produce, the grain that they will produce, will be things like knowledge and understanding and correct handling of scripture. They'll be growing to love the things of God, growing to love the church and the people of God. They'll be growing on a trajectory of holiness. But if they're a false convert, they're going to be producing bad fruit, not grain. There will be continued poor handling and poor understanding of scripture. They won't be genuinely interested in the things of God or the church. There will be a lack of repentance. Maybe they won't be very forgiving towards other people. Just general immaturity, maybe arguing against scripture, lack of personal holiness and things like this. This is the kind of fruit that will be produced. Now, right here, I want to stop and touch back to the Kanye situation. We mentioned earlier that there have been two reactions to the announcement of his salvation. And indeed, this can be the case with the salvation of anyone, that there can be these two reactions. So there are those who take his profession at face value, no questions asked, and they have pronounced him definitely saved. And then there are those who are cautiously optimistic and are saying that we should rejoice with him, but watch for the fruit of his profession. Watch for that grain, or watch for that bad fruit, one or the other. Now, I've seen some very ugly comments from people in the former camp, the people who just take Kanye's profession at face value. Yeah. Really ugly comments towards those in the rejoice but watch for fruit camp for not simply taking for granted that Kanye is genuinely saved. And a lot of those people making those mocking, ugly comments, you know, I really think they need to repent, because as we can see from the parable of the soils, bearing good fruit is the evidence that someone is genuinely saved. So it's definitely biblical to optimistically watch for fruit over time, and people should not be lambasted for taking that biblical approach. The assume he's saved camp quotes Luke 15:10, which says, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." But they're taking that verse out of context, because that's the conclusion to the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. That shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep, he knew for certain that that sheep was found because he's the one who found it. And that woman in the parable of the lost coin, she knew beyond any doubt that her coin was found because she found it. Now, the shepherd and the woman both represent God, who knows beyond any doubt whether or not someone is genuinely saved. And those angels who are rejoicing are standing in the presence of the one who knows beyond any doubt whether or not someone is genuinely saved. And that's not, as I said before, that is not the case with those of us who are observing things from a human standpoint on earth. We can't know, when we just see a little green shoot, whether or not that person is genuinely saved. And it is just as much speculation to say that person is definitely saved as it is to say, I hope that person is truly saved, but time will tell and fruit will tell. It's only when we begin to see the fruit that a person bears in response to discipleship that we can get a good idea of whether or not that person is probably genuinely saved. Now, in many cases, we can't know for sure at all at any point, because only God can see that person's heart. And some people can be kind of good at faking good fruit. So the best we can do in many cases is just to get a good idea of whether or not that person is probably genuinely saved. But the point I'm trying to make here is that our main focus should be on discipleship. The watering, the fertilizing, the teaching God's word, getting the person plugged in at church and helping them to develop their spiritual gifts and use those gifts to serve the body, praying with them, showing them how to live a holy life. So our main focus should be on discipleship, because that's the job God has given us. And it shouldn't be on speculating as to whether or not that person is genuinely saved, because that is up to God. Amy, did you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I was thinking about this as you were talking, Michelle, just excellent points. One of the things we tend to do as Christians is as soon as somebody like a celebrity, doesn't matter what kind they are, but as soon as they say that they believe in God, we tend to just put them right up on a pedestal, don't we? I mean, you know, evangelicalism tends to want to make heroes out of just about anybody. So, you know, the minute they say, well, I believe in God, we tend to just fall all over ourselves and say, wow, you know, this is great. You guys, you represent us. You know, we don't have a platform, but you do. So go forth. And now you're going to represent us and you're going to be our celebrity Christian. And it's, that is just wrong. I think that that's caused so much pain and so much disappointment out there for both the celebrity who can't possibly live up to our expectations and ourselves when we see them not living up to our expectations and we put them up there. Shame on us for doing that.
That's so true. And, you know, we need to remember, we see this a lot on social media that someone will sneeze in God's general direction and people will automatically assume that, oh, yay, this person must, you know, might be a Christian or is a Christian or whatever. And I know that, you know, I've been kind of encouraging people not to make assumptions like that on just such flimsy evidence. And I know other people have as well, that we need to be careful not to assume that just because somebody says something a little positive about God, that that person is a Christian. And so we've been saying this for a while now, and that's what has been going on with people and their approach to Kanye. And so, but they're getting lambasted for that. And so I think that's not a good thing. We need to be more understanding of each other. But another thing that we need to remember is that we are so enamored of celebrities as Christians, just like you were saying. And we need to remember that, you know, somebody that's a celebrity getting saved, that doesn't validate Christianity. That doesn't make Christianity any truer or more right or more important or more cool in the eyes of the world or anything like that. Christianity is valid because of Christ, not because of how many, you know, big name celebrities we can get to be the MVP on our team. So we really need to remember that and make sure that we're not giving glory to celebrities that belongs to Christ alone. So we need to be sure about that. But to get back to our listener's question, if over time you've been discipling someone or you've got a friend and you're observing bad fruit, like we talked about before, such as continued sin or lack of growth in the scriptures, following false teachers, things like this, and you suspect that the person might be a false convert, I would suggest a couple of things. First of all, have some conversations about the gospel. One thing you could do is to ask her to pretend like she's sharing the gospel with you and listen to see if she seems like she understands law and gospel, sin and grace, Christ's payment for sin on the cross, and all of these things. And when you're listening to her share the gospel with you, you can kind of get a better idea of where she is spiritually. And then when she's done, you can take turns. You know, you can share the gospel with her and probably give her a better idea of what the truth of the gospel is. So have those gospel conversations and maybe a little bit of role playing and things like that. That would be my first suggestion. My second suggestion is, when in doubt, share the gospel. I mean, only God knows who's truly saved, and it's not going to hurt a saved person to hear the gospel again. I mean, we know that. In fact, it will probably encourage her that you care enough to share the gospel with her, that you care enough about her. And it'll probably, I mean, I know I'm always encouraged when I hear someone sharing the gospel. And if someone was sharing the gospel with me, that would encourage me all to pieces. And and it may even convict this person to repent of whatever bad fruit she's bearing that would cause you to be confused about whether or not she's truly saved. So when in doubt, share the gospel. There's never a wrong time to share the gospel. And then my final suggestion there would be, do your job and trust God to do his job. Our job is to scatter seed, you know, share the gospel. Our job is to disciple a person who has made a profession of faith. And our job is to pray for that person. And that's where our responsibility ends. God works through our seed scattering, through our discipling and sharing the gospel, and through our praying. But we need to remember, he is the one who saves, not any effort on our part, not, you know, saying the right word or doing the right thing. We're to be faithful to our jobs of doing the discipling and doing the evangelism and praying and walking this person through the Christian life. And we're to be faithful to that and not worry about it, because God is sovereign. He is the one in control of salvation, and he will handle this. He doesn't need us micromanaging him or trying to do his job for him. He has everything under control, and we can rest in that and just relax in doing our job and trust him to do his. Amy, did you have any final thoughts about that?
Well, I think so often, Michelle, we tend to rely on our feelings about these things. And I would encourage us ladies not to trust in our feelings, whether or not a loved one is saved, or maybe that person that you're discipling says, you know, I don't feel saved. Remember, you know, it doesn't matter what we feel. We need to remind each other to trust in the truth of what we've been learning in Scripture, trust in the promises of God, and lean not on our own feels. So that would be my final thing, but I think you've covered it very well, Michelle.
Well, good. I think it was a good discussion, and I hope this will help us to keep our focus where it really should be, doing our job of all the things that God has given us to do in Scripture, and letting, you know, letting God, trusting God to do his job and his part in salvation. Yeah.
Stop trying to do his job is what I think is a really good piece of advice there. And, you know, on the other side of things too, I think one final thought is, you know, we also tend to jump all over the person, and we just kind of lay in wait for that new person. We don't know if they're a convert or not, but we just wait for that person to screw up and get ready to pounce. And we ought not to be like that. Sanctification takes such a long time. And I know it, in my case, I feel like I'm the slowest one on the block. So we just need to make sure that it's God doing the work, and we don't jump all over people, because they'll make the same mistakes that we did. And we need to have that utmost patience with them. So on that note, I think that will wrap it up for another episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. So don't forget, if you have some thoughts on this, you'd like to leave us your comments on what you heard here today or any other show topic ideas, you can connect with us and find the ways. There's so many ways to connect with us, social media channels and that kind of thing. But if you want to know all of those things, right at our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, you'll find all those connections. And we really encourage you, if you're encouraged by this podcast, please subscribe. We would love that. We'd love your reviews, but we want to know that you're subscribed, and you can catch us whenever you need to. So until next time, walk worthy.